Welcome to Israel. Why is the Middle East important? We Christians are the Nozrim, according to most Jews today. We are the watchers on the wall. Our purpose as members of the Commonwealth of Israel is to serve and protect God's people. After the formation of the world, God enacted a plan, and that plan began in the Middle East at the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And that plan concludes in that same place. The context of the entirety of God's plan begins and completes in and with Israel. There is no denying that, nor refuting it, if you are a Jew or a Christian, and the anthropological evidence verifies it. For the purposes of this podcast, Israel is both a nation and a people. Welcome back, friends. This is Jeff Pelletier and Neil Johnson. This is Israel. Why is the Middle East important? And today, we're going to revisit the Jewish calendar. We're going to revisit time. We're going to revisit God's plan. We did a show about the calendar a while ago, and we talked about the fact that the Jewish calendar is God's plan. It represents the way God is moving through time and how he wants us to understand it. And the Jewish calendar is based on the moon, and the Roman calendar, which is the one we use in our everyday lives, is based on the sun. And the solar calendar, and they're different. It's important to understand that God's calendar is the Jewish calendar. That's God's calendar. He created that calendar. He named the first month. He named the first day. He named all 7 days of the week. And it's God's calendar that he gave us to keep track, so we could keep track of it all. We talked about briefly, and I think it was last show or the show before. I forget which one it was, Neil, but maybe you'll remember. We talked about this idea in Daniel, which is relative to the end of time, right? This idea in Daniel of time, times, and half a time, right? You brought up the idea that you know, some people think that's 3.5 years, but then we brought up the idea that that's based on the Jewish calendar, not the Roman calendar, and then if you count it that way, it comes out a little bit different than 3.5 years.
Right, so we're stuck with this whole idea of what is the Jewish calendar. So we follow in the West, and we non-Jews outside of Israel follow predominantly the Gregorian calendar, and that was by Pope Gregory who tweaked the calendar, and it's very accurate. And if today on the Jewish calendar, if you will, the accepted Jewish calendar, the year is 5784.
Yeah.
And that calendar is also very accurate.
Yeah, very 5784.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So the fact is that the Jewish calendar, if you will, or if you call it, in Israel has two calendars. One is called the civil calendar, the days from creation, and one is called the religious calendar from Exodus. I think it's chapter 12 where God said, this shall be the first month for you, and so on. And that calendar that we've accepted as the year 5784, there's been new findings in calendars as well, and that adds another.
In a scene or something like, what did you say?
It's in Qumran, people attribute it to the Essenes, that in about year 2017, they found another calendar that was deciphered, if put out to public, if not just the select few group of scholars got this calendar.
And it's different.
And that one is different yet again. So sometimes people just say, the Jewish calendar. Well, do you mean the presently accepted Jewish calendar where the year is 5784? Or do you mean, possibly, because some people do, this calendar that's far older? Doesn't mean it should replace or anything. It just means it's another way of looking at it that was found in Qumran, that they say, well, the Essenes must have followed that calendar.
And it's how many years is it different from the one we call the Jewish calendar?
There are missing years. We know from archaeological finds and studying various Persian records and so on of the kings that there are missing years, probably 165 to 168 years. They're called the missing years. So if you add those onto the present calendar, accepted Jewish calendar of the year 5784, we are far, far past 5784, you have to add another at least 165, 166 years.
Okay.
That are called missing years.
To the 5784.
To the 5784.
And that takes us to 5900?
Yeah, let's just 5784 and we add
166.
Okay, well, that'd be 10, 15. Add 7, 8, 9.
Nice.
Yeah, 5950.
Which means we're 50 years away from Messiah, according to the Jewish understanding.
And the early Christian fathers followed suit, and they also referenced that whole idea of there's a 6,000-year plan of God, or some people call it the 7,000-year plan of God, because we have a period, the seventh day, where God rests, if you will, with mankind for 1,000 years on the earth.
Mm.
So if you say, and we've done the show on this in the past, if you look that up and listen to it, it is this. We talk about how does the 6,000-year plan of God work. And yes, you're right. If you say, well, if we add the 166, just the missing years that we know are missing, almost everybody agrees, even rabbis agree.
Yes.
If you add those on to the presently accepted Jewish calendar, and I'm trying to do air quotes here.
I can see them perfectly.
Yeah, you can see them perfectly, right. At 5784, we come out to, we're actually in year 5950.
Wow, there you go.
Which is very, very close
it's
to
very close
6,000 year plan.
So time, times, and half a time. I heard a teaching on this, and I like your thoughts on it as well. It said that the word times is a different word from the word time.
Right.
It's a different word for time. It's a set time word. It's the set times. So time, times, or set times. What's a set time?
Well, the set times come from the festivals of God, of which there are seven of those as well.
Yeah.
So number seven just keeps coming up. For instance, just to digress and come back to your question, why do we observe a seven-day week? It makes no sense.
Hello.
But yet the whole world, almost the whole world, observes a
seven-day week. Wow.
But your question was, what is the set time? Well, that comes from Leviticus 23.
Hang on a second. Folks, I gotta say this for myself. 7 days in a week, seven festivals.
Right.
Coincidence.
Right.
It's a coincidence.
Right.
No, it's not.
Right, and it's just like God, the very, very beginning of our story, God says on day one he created, on day two he created, he goes through six days of creation, then it says the seventh day he rested, the Sabbath day.
The Sabbath day.
So again, you say, well, why this seven? It doesn't make sense. Mm. It doesn't neatly fit into anything like a 10 or a 12 or some other odd number would fit in.
Yeah.
And again, I always put out the disclaimer, I'm about to get past my pay grade because I'm not a calendarist, if you will, and it gets to be pretty heavy astronomically and mathematically and so on. But all of these things that you asked about, they don't make sense. And where does that 7 day come from? Where does the moed come from? It comes from Leviticus 23 when God said, on this day,
set time,
you will observe this festival.
And that, how does it say it in the Bible?
So now you're getting me, like I'm glad I put out the disclaimer. So the present Jewish calendar is a lunar solar calendar. In other words, they have to add, like we do in the West with the Gregorian calendar, we have to add days, and we call it a leap year.
We call it a leap year. We do add days. That's right. So it's not unusual to add time.
To add time.
Because it's an imperfect, it's not quite right.
It's not quite right because it doesn't fit in. The present Jewish calendar, I believe, is like a 360-day calendar based predominantly on the moon.
Okay.
But it's also a solar calendar because if you just followed the moon, you'd be so far off, you would be celebrating a fall festival in the spring, and a spring festival in the summer, and fall and winter, and it would be all a mess. So just like we do in the West, we call it a leap year, because in that year we add a day to the Gregorian calendar to account for the difference.
Yes, we do.
In the rotation of the earth around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional Hebrew calendar also adds an extra 30 days.
30 days.
And they...
Every...
approximately 3 to 4 years.
Okay. All right.
So, and that's called a Dar.
It's a new month, actually.
It's a whole month of days.
They had a month.
They had a month of days to harmonize the calendar so that that's why that's where the solar part comes in. It's a lunar solar part calendar, predominantly lunar. That's correct.
That's right.
But you know, you don't want to observe Passover in December.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's a spring festival.
It's a spring festival, and it will you eventually will if you don't put the 30 in.
You don't put the 30 in,
that's right. Okay, all right, cool. So in prophecy, there's symbolism,
right,
between week and day.
Yes, there is.
What's that all about?
So the week and the day
and year also and also year
and year. Yeah, it becomes very complicated, and good-hearted, good-minded people have come up with all kinds of attempts to harmonize what, quite frankly, in at least to me, is not easily and readily discernible. It doesn't say X and X and X and X equals X. When do I start the count? And so on. But there's all kinds of references in Scripture that a day or a week is a year.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of references in Scripture that a day is 1,000 years.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so, Peter uses that. He quotes the Old Testament, I think.
He does. He very much does. Yeah. He's referencing Psalm 90, for 1,000 years are in your sight as yesterday when it is past. It is a watch in the night. Psalm 40, and Peter said, "Beloved, do not let this one fact be hidden from you."
Yes.
That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. So that's the day 1,000-year principle, but there's also the day-year principle in Scripture that talks about very clearly that a day is a year. I mean, we did a show, our last show on Purim.
Purim, yeah.
And it said that Israel would go into captivity for 70 years, but their sin was 490 years, for instance. Yeah. So we have this whole day-year principle and day-thousand-year principle. I guess the bottom line is, Jeff, no matter how we cut it, our timing, our calendar, the way we think and process isn't what God does.
Right, that's right. And that's true right there in Genesis 1, isn't it?
Correct.
Genesis chapter 1, where God says, and there was evening and morning the first day. Evening and morning,
right.
The first day, not morning and evening.
Right.
And that's the way the Jews account for a day. Correct?
Account for a day, right.
Sunset to sunset.
Bottom line is, how do you want to track, how do you want to believe the calendar system? And that is right there from the sunset. Well, the sun sets at a far later time during the summer.
During the summer.
So that would be hours and hours potentially later.
Yeah.
And it rises much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have days and days that could be off just with the whole idea of what is a day.
Yeah. Wow. So getting back to the week, year, day analogy.
Right.
It's actually not an analogy. It's symbolism that's really important to prophecy, is it
correct?
Not?
Yes, yeah. It's very important to prophecy, and that's why so many times you can come up with this whole day is a year principle, this day is a 1,000-year principle. One doesn't trump or do away with the other. It's just, I don't know always, and nobody does know necessarily, how to harmonize them or when to begin the counts, as we say. There are many references to days in Daniel and Revelation, and they range from quite a bit, 1,260 days to 2,300 days. Okay, what are the days? What are the 42 months? And so on. And good-hearted, good-meaning, and maybe mostly correct or partially correct, who knows, scholars have said that means time, and half a time.
Oh, yeah.
To your question originally.
Yes,
what's a moad? What's a time?
Yeah.
And it's just a good-hearted attempt to say it's got to be important or it won't be written. And yet, let's face it, Jeff, I don't get it. The hardest thing for any human to say is, I don't get it.
So evening is at sunset
right.
every day, right? Okay, so it occurs to me, Neil, that God doesn't require time at all.
Right.
He just lives completely outside of time.
Outside of
right?
time.
And he gave us time so that we could keep track.
Right, so that we could keep track.
Yeah. So he set times so we would know what was happening and what we should do.
And it must be important.
Must be important. But it's not we didn't do it. We just are observing what God did, and we're saying, well, this helps me keep track.
This helps me keep track, and the keeping track must be important. There must be a reason for it. He wasn't just arbitrary. In other words, he bound himself by this created thing called time, because it was created, and we know from Scripture that time, which we're bound by here in this dimension,
we are.
Also has an end.
Yeah,
it has an ending. We're done.
Eternity has no end, but time does.
Time is meaningless. It's created.
Yeah.
And it ends.
And it ends.
And that's what we were saying is on the 7,000 year, 6,000 year plan of God, whatever you want to call it as,
right.
However you want to refer to it,
right.
That's the end. And we explained how that works. And then you get into these, like we said, these calendars. Yeah. Are they accurately measuring time? And for our question and for our people is, great, interesting enough, I haven't lost you yet, but who cares? Why does it matter?
Right. Like we said, it's important so that we understand the plan of God, because God laid it out in a calendar for us to live by and to worship him by. And I'm thinking right now about the Jewish set times and the seven festivals, right? And the way God laid out the work week and the way God laid out the day and so forth. And I'm thinking about all of that, and I'm thinking about what happened in Rome in Constantine's time. That whole calendar was reinvented. And I'm not talking about the solar calendar. I'm talking about the set times of the Jewish calendar,
right,
were completely rearranged in some way. And it's not Passover anymore. It's Easter, right? It's not Passover, and it's Pentecost. It's not the Feast of Weeks, and Jesus isn't the first fruits from the dead. We don't even talk about that hardly at all in the Roman calendar,
right?
And the way the church laid it out,
right? And we can trace, unfortunately, history, or fortunately, but some of Christian history goes back to the early believers, and we can say, okay, Constantine made a very conscious effort to separate out Easter from Passover.
Why?
Well, there was all kinds of reasons. He said, we have to separate Easter from the accursed influence of the Jews, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we have a long, long history of anti-Jewish thought, if you will. Very much what we're warned against by Paul in Romans, who was who was a Pharisee, who was a deeply educated, highly educated man.
Yes.
And he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he warned us, don't be arrogant. But if you read any church history, you will see, even the most benign church history is, we were very arrogant.
Wow.
Very arrogant.
And well, I think we still are. I'm just saying my own opinion here, but I think we kind of still are, Christians-wise, especially with the way we treat the calendar. As I look at the Feast of Weeks, for example, the Feast of Weeks, it's the 7 weeks following Passover week.
Right?
Right. Right? So you have Passover week, and then you have then you have 7 weeks, 49 days, right?
That's right.
And then on the 50th day, that's Shavuot.
That's right.
But we don't call it Shavuot.
That's
we call
right.
it Pentecost, which
Correct.
Means 50th.
Correct.
Right? So, but that's not what's happening there. And we've done a show on this. We talked about the Shavuot festival and how it's one of the three. Is it three that are required, Jew is required to go to Jerusalem, right?
That's right. They're called the migratory or pilgrimage festivals, where they're required to be in.
And Shavuot is Jerusalem. One of those.
Right.
And that's what was going on.
That's correct.
When the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles.
That's right.
Right?
That's correct.
After 49 days of prayer, right?
Well, exactly.
Prayer.
Counting the Omar
there
down.
You go.
We're
right?
getting ready.
That's right. And then the Holy Spirit came on the 50th day.
Right.
The Holy Spirit came, and that was Shavuot, which was the celebration of the giving of the Torah.
Correct.
The celebration of harvest of wheat.
Correct.
And And so that's when a great harvest happened.
Correct.
In Jerusalem. Yeah. 3,000 people were saved in one day.
Of the main harvest. The central harvest.
That was a harvest.
Humanity.
That day. So you're celebrating the harvest. You're celebrating, what was the other thing I said? The giving of the Torah. Jesus fulfilled the Torah. I mean, all of this is just lost.
Right.
Because we changed the calendar.
We changed the calendar, and also the official Jewish calendar may have been changed as well, and many people, again, say that it was changed. Mm. Many people of their theories say it was deliberately changed, and then you have to say, okay, why do I believe it was deliberately changed? Mm-hmm. And some people ascribe very nefarious reasons, but we do know that there are these missing years. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody agrees there were missing years, but the question becomes, why are there missing years? What was happening at that time that would compel somebody in about 160 AD, a Jewish person, a Jewish rabbi, to write what's called the Seder Olam Rabbah, S-O-R, Seder Olam Rabbah, calendar in such a different way and use different numbering system. It's very accurate, but why would you do that? And if you look back, you see, well, there was a threat to traditional, if you will, again,
threat
I'm using
whom?
Air quotes.
The threat by whom?
A very traditional threat by this new thing called Christianity.
Oh, my.
Right, because Christianity at that point was really starting to take off, plus the temple had been destroyed.
What were we thinking?
And it is the beginning of what's today called traditional Judaism, rabbinic Judaism.
Right. Yeah. I can't imagine what the Romans were thinking when they decided that they had to basically move on from Judaism.
Right.
They had to, instead of bringing it with, right, building on it,
right,
they basically reinvented it.
No, reinvented it almost out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
And that's why we get all kinds of different denominations and things today. And that's common, if you will, accepted in Christianity at least, and in Judaism as well. But we see it very early on in about 320 was Emperor Constantine. He was, you know, God of the world, if you will.
Yeah.
He had all the power of the West, and he officially declared these times and these dates. And he separated out Easter, like I said, from Passover. So he wanted to dissociate Christianity from its root.
He made it based on the solar calendar and the equinox, the spring equinox. And it's the first, it's the Sunday following the first, the spring equinox after the first full moon or something. But it's got, I don't get it. Right. I just don't get why he would do that.
Right.
And what was the gain of it? How did we possibly gain by doing that?
And that's the purpose why we're going, or attempting to go through this whole, what calendar is important and is it important?
And is it important?
Is it important that these dates be correct? What is the traditional calendar? And that's why we're going through it right now. And again, these early church people who were non-Jews, Gentiles, wanted to dissociate for all kinds of myriads of reasons, some anti-Semitic reasons, from the root, if you will, from the base, from the foundation, which is Judaism.
Judaism. It is. It's the root.
Yeah.
It's the root of everything we believe.
Right, right. And so, you know, you can go into the historical reasons and political reasons of the time and so on, and it's just almost meaningless to us today, except it had applicable, real-life application for us today. Today we celebrate, and we just did, Easter, which is a fine thing.
Right. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, Resurrection Day.
Except
Absolutely. It's
not at Passover. It's not,
no.
Like you said, it's not the Feast of First Fruits. It's not unleavened bread.
It's not.
None of those. Right.
It's none of that. We lose all of that meaning.
Right. It's completely dissociated almost among most Christians. Now, we are not saying Christians need to go back and observe the feasts and the festivals and dress like a Jewish person, a Jewish priest or something, which is fine if you feel called to and you want to do it. We always say that, hey, if you feel you should, great. But there are Jews for a very specific purpose, and there are Gentiles for a very specific purpose.
Yes, there are.
And they come together.
Yes, they do.
But they never become something they're not. Like, if I come into the kingdom, if you will, I do not become, therefore, automatically a Jew.
No. No, you do not.
I am not called to be automatically a Jewish high priest.
No.
I am not called to be automatically a Levite.
No.
Some people would suggest that that is what we are called mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, reading Scripture, it's very clear there are distinctions and differences. Mm-hmm. And they are eternal distinctions and differences. But all the Scripture tells us is one is not necessarily better or superior to the other.
Oh, no, they're contingent on each other. They're related to one another. They're necessary. Both are good, but the foundation. You know, I was thinking the other day about Paul talked about that our faith is built on the foundation of the apostles.
Correct.
They were all Jews.
They were all Jews. Yeah, all of the.
They were all Jews.
And that sometimes throws people. You can say, "Well, do you know Jesus was a Jew?" And they'll say, "Yeah, I know that." But if you say, "Do you also know that all of the first believers and all of the writers of the New Testament were also Jews?"
Yeah.
I don't know that they weren't practicing. And Jesus did away with it. Yeah. So you get all kinds of stuff, and that's sort of like what happens to our calendar. Is our calendar just becomes. We're so used to just accepting 5784 as though that's the only one. And maybe that's a good place to say, hey, let's at least introduce this next calendar that was found at Qumran, because we've hinted at that.
Wow.
We're not saying that that's the right one or that's the one you should follow or that we know. I don't know, Jeff.
But if you pay attention over the next 50 years, you might find out.
Well, we're going to all find out at the culmination, aren't we? And we're all going to be surprised, like we always say. I knew that would happen. I just didn't know what happened like that.
Like that. Yeah. We did a show about that, folks, if you want to check it out.
Right.
That's great. That's great. So Neil, Exodus 12, 1 and 2, is where the calendar begins.
That's where what we call the religious calendar starts, and that is from Nisan, or Passover season, right? God says, this shall be the first month for you. That's what's called the religious. Now, 7 months later in that calendar is what's called the civil calendar. So they run at the same time.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily bad calendars, just like the Gregorian is not a bad calendar. It's a great work that they've done, very accurate and very nice. Except you have to ask yourself, what calendar do I wish to follow? And that's where we get to this whole idea of this Dead Sea calendar that so-called the Essenes, or that this the Qumran community, had in their possession. Now, whether they followed it or not, I think that's still open for scholarly debate among the scholars who study these things. But we know that it's a different calendar, and one of the foremost experts has said that calendar also has leap days, as we've said in it, but there's four at four set times. So the unique thing about that calendar that's fairly recently discovered, 2017 or so, is that Passover, for instance, is always at the exact time on the calendar.
Wow.
The Shabbat is never varies. It's always these days.
Yeah.
Any other festival, it's at this time, the new moon festival,
the
new wine harvest.
Date.
It's a specific date on that calendar. Yeah. Never varies.
Never varies.
And so you have to ask yourself, wow, that's an interesting calendar at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
At a minimum. Mm-hmm. As opposed to 5784, which is the accepted traditional Jewish calendar today, which is fantastically accurate, except it has to be tweaked all the time, the days float, if you will, and then you have to say, wait, is there a reason for that? Did God mean that at this time and on this day you should do X and so on, if you're a Jewish person, or if you're a Gentile and want to do it, or does it really matter?
So, Neil, let me just ask this question.
Right.
Does it matter?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
Right. If we're all, as we've kidded many times, and we'll talk maybe next time or whatever we do, if we're all gone soon, raptured away or whatever, who cares? What does it matter? Or God will sort it out. Well, if God gave a certain set day, whether it's the civil calendar from creation, a certain number of days, or the religious calendar, that you'll observe the Passover and so on, all the festivals on this day, this set time, this Moed. Does it matter? And does it matter to us? And that's where you get into, okay, how do I apply it to myself? And does it matter at all? And that's for each individual, I think, Jeff, to answer for himself. Does it matter? And is it accurate?
Stay tuned for a special Hebrew blessing at the end of every episode, including this one. This has been a great discussion. I look forward to how it continues to unfold. As you can tell, Neil and I enjoy talking about the subject as it helps us to get to the root of the matter about God and why Israel and the Middle East are so important. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at our home at podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? That's podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? And you can find us any place great podcasts can be found. And you can find us on Facebook using the same title. And you can email us at whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. That's whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you like what you hear, please invite your friends to the conversation. You know, one thing Neil and I always say to each other is, I don't know. Because it is by having an opinion, yet holding it with an open hand, that we continue to grow. Shalom. See you next time. Wait for the blessing. Shalom.